Sometimes they yell at me, Gina. It's quite shocking.
Oh, you know what? I know some people like that too. When they're in a bad mood. And,
have I yelled at you? I definitely have told you this is not a fucking good time. But
you have snapped. Have you yelled
not
at
you? I mean, I know I've yelled at you. I mean, Rick.
Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About.
The podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, master trainer at Sales Gravy. Laughing because every time Rachel is being sexy, it just makes me laugh.
I try to be as sexy as I can with my sexy deep voice. I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, a mortgage loan officer with US Mortgage and creator of Your Ultra Fit Lifestyle. And today we are highlighting and showcasing US Mortgage by bringing on Rick Guerrero. He's the director of branch sales and strategic partnerships in the Southeast, which is happens to be the largest producing region for the U.S. Mortgage Corporation. And before that, he owned and managed an insurance company for State Farm. And he tells a really fantastic story about how he did all that. I mean, I actually didn't know that part of the story about him. Pretty fascinating. Little history on Rick to fluff him up. He's got a bachelor's of business administration and finance from the University of Houston, and he's got a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu from Alliance HQ, which he really brushed off when I brought that up. I was hoping he'd talk about that, but he's pretty much a badass. He does live in Atlanta, Georgia with his beautiful wife, Lisa, and his daughter, Cade. And he is very passionate about some of the same things that we're passionate about. A few things that he said, I almost wanted to interrupt because I'm like, oh my God, you're like me so much more even now.
He's like the male version of a woman your mother warned you about. A little bit.
And he gets really thrown off by that question when we throw it at him. He's like, he was a little scared. He was so intimidated by Gina's professional fanciness.
Oh my God.
But he figured it out.
The Gina.
The Gina. Do I need to call you the Gina from now on?
The Gina.
You can be the Gina if I can be Queen Rachel. How's that sound?
You can be Queen Rachel, even though Gina in Latin means queen. That's fine. You could do that. It's so good. He liked my fancy schmancy Sales Gravy backdrop and how, because I'm in my studio today doing this episode.
Well, your backdrop really, really does look good. And as Jeb discusses in virtual selling, it is super important in how you're perceived in a sales environment, especially in today's environment where Zoom calls are so much more common. It makes you look so much more professional by having that very lovely, well-arranged backdrop. So kudos to you, because mine's terrible.
You'll get there. You'll get there. And since we're talking about Sales Gravy, thank you to Sales Gravy and Jeb Blunt for being the sponsor of this show. We are so grateful, and the journey that we have had through the show and with Jeb has been super fun and where we are today. So I'm excited for people to hear this episode. I'm not gonna totally reveal how I ooh and ah over Rick at the end, because he and I share something sexy in common that people are going to find.
It actually got a little uncomfortable
strange.
Because he showed her his, and he actually emailed a picture of it to her, and then Gina immediately like showed him hers. So let's get on with this episode and find out what that is with Rick Guerrero with US Mortgage Corporation. All right, Rick, so don't be nervous. This is a place, it's a safe place where you can actually say whatever you want.
Well, I'm nervous because my mother warned me about ladies like you.
Oh, this is so perfect, Rick. Okay. I love this. By the way, real fast, welcome to The Women Your Mother Warned You About. Your mother warned you about women like us. I want to know what that warning was and how she described those women.
I was totally just kidding to get a laugh.
Too late.
She didn't warn me about any women. I should have been warned.
Well, luckily you did well. You ended up in a good place with your wife and your beautiful daughter.
Well, how would you define a woman your mother warned you about, just for fun?
I don't know.
You know what? Maybe by the end of this show, you'll have a definition after talking.
Maybe
to us.
So. Maybe I'll loosen up a little bit and it'll come out.
I promise you, you will not be harmed during the Women You Mother Warned You About podcast, Rick. You know me. It's going to be okay. I promise.
I'm not nervous with you.
Gina's scary. Gina's so professional compared to me with her backdrop and all.
Don't let the backdrop fool you.
Rachel's mentioned you to me several times and always spoken very highly of you and said amazing things. So not that I'm nervous, but you know, it's a pleasure to be here and finally meet the Gina that she's talked about so much.
Oh, well.
The Gina.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet the Rick Guerrero. That's
good.
Well, that's the Italian. Is it Italian or is it Spanish?
Mexican. Yeah.
Mexican. Okay. So it can go either way based on Italian names ending in a vowel. So Rick Guerrero, welcome to the Women Your Mother Warned You About. Let's hear. Rachel, you want to tell us a little bit about Rick, what you know about him?
Rick was one of the first people that I spoke to when I started thinking about jumping from the real estate side over to the mortgage side. And Rick was actually really eloquent and helpful and encouraging with all my 100 questions that I had about it, because my current branch manager, Mike Fitzpatrick, is the one that recruited me from the real estate side and asked me, would I be interested in becoming a mortgage loan officer? And so I was like, I don't know. So Mike directed me over to Rick, and Rick's just really, really great. Definitely of onboarding new people. That's for sure. He made me feel super duper comfortable. And I know that prior to joining the mortgage industry, Rick had a insurance company. So now Rick is, God, what's your official title, Rick? Director of Branch Sales and Strategic Partnerships in the Southeast for U.S. Mortgage. I had to look that up because I just know him as Rick on speed dial.
Depending on who you ask, it's a different title.
That's right. So Rick partnered with J.R. Downs to create the Southeast branch in Atlanta of U.S. Mortgage. And he's just an all-around swell guy. So Rick, let's let you talk. And why don't you just tell us, like, how did you transition from insurance to mortgage?
That's a great starting point. I think it aligns with many of the sales concepts you guys talk about. I moved to Atlanta, didn't know a single person. I moved here because I met a girl that I fell in love with, and she could only get a job in Atlanta. She works for the CDC. So anywhere in the world, she had to move to Atlanta. So at the time, I was working in retail clothing sales. Couldn't find a job here in Atlanta, so I decided to open up my own business. I got a job with the State Farm, where you can open up your own State Farm franchise, and they train you. And most importantly, they give you a check while you're learning. So for me, that made sense. So I started with State Farm, didn't know anybody in the city, and most insurance you get into, the best way of getting business, like a lot of real estate as well, is fear of influence. I didn't know a single person. So I hit up every single networking event in the city, Chamber of Commerce, real estate events. I went to everything because in my opinion, everybody drove a car, everybody needed insurance. So I went to everything under the sun. Well, before long, I got a niche in real estate. And I used to go to the real estate networking events. I used to email loan officers and realtors and say, look, if you need a deck page, I'm available 24/7. Shoot me over the address. I will get you a deck page within like an hour or two. I was all about having that deck page immediately because I knew that the faster I was, the more people would call me. And I just got really good at that. People started recognizing me as the guy that gets out deck pages within an hour. They never timed me, but that's what my reputation became. So I started visiting different mortgage offices every single week, Tuesday through Thursday, visiting offices, dropping in, dropping off goodies, you know, making the rounds. And some of the branch managers would ask me like what I do, why I prospect, about my prospecting, and dive into like my habits. And they asked me what loan officers I worked with in different parts of the city, what companies. So by accident, I kind of became an unofficial recruiter. I didn't mean to. I was just connecting people with people and accidentally became a recruiter. Some of the sales managers would then ask me to come in and teach their loan officers to do what I do, which to me, like, wasn't really hard. I just went out and like talked to people and asked for business. Well, apparently not everybody thought that way and not everybody does that. So started doing that. I used to be on Wells Fargo's regional sales call, like just talking about what I did. And before long, a few mortgage companies just started making me offers. And like I started to get to know a lot of the people in the mortgage industry. And I thought, wow, if I came in here with my work ethic, like no offense to any of them, but we're just different. Like I hustle, I grind, like I'm very broke. So I need, I hustle my butt off. Whereas when you get comfortable, you don't hustle as much. And a lot in our industry and realtors and loan officers, now there's still a good portion that still hustle, but there's a large portion that don't because they're very comfortable with their book of business, right? So I recognize if I came in here, like what could I accomplish? If I feel like I have lots of opportunities. I picked out the one that made the most sense for me. I took it. I went to work for that company. I learned a lot about the business in about a 6 to 7 month period of time at that company. And I recognized that company was not for me. So I got connected with my current partner, JR Downs, who used to work at the company I worked at. We started talking about if we were to partner up and build out our own team, what would it look like and what would be non-negotiables for us? We interviewed at different places. We came across US Mortgage. 7 years later, we're still here. We're still doing very well. We're now in about, we have 5 branches, about 35 loan officers in several states. And we started with 1 LO. So that's a lot.
There's so much wow in that story. I don't even know which part of it to jump on. I mean, if you know, I'm like, I want to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Just the fact, because I think this is important for anyone in sales, right? Like we talk about the grind, like Rachel and I are all about the grind. You talk about doing whatever it takes to do. And here you are, you're moving to Atlanta. You go into retail clothing sales and you're like, I'm gonna do whatever I got to do it. And you know, that's the attitude prevailing through this whole story. I hear is like doing whatever you're going to do, partnering people together and doing that grind. That's,
you know, it's what's really great about Rick's story so far is I know there's, and Rick walks the walk that he talks. There's a lot of loan officers. I know for a fact, realtors and pretty much plenty of salespeople that will whine, I don't have any, there's no business. There's not, I mean, right now in our industry, there's so much business like crazy, but you know what I mean? There's people that'll whine that they just don't have business, but it's because they're not looking for it. They're not hustling the way that Rick just described. Like there's business everywhere. If you decide you want to go get it, you just have to just get out there and do it. And that's what the whiners, the whiny ones, they just are like waiting for it to show up and walk through their door. And it's not going to do that.
You know, you guys are both into fitness, and I somehow came up with this, and it might not be, I don't think I created the term, but it's what came to me this morning because I'm like, I am so tired today. And someone said, but it's paying off. I said, I know, but my hustle muscle is feeling really strange today. My hustle muscle needs a little bit of a break. I mean, it's the hustle. You have to do the hustle if you want to be successful. And Jeb often says that successful, high-performing salespeople do not have skinny children. Wait for it. Let it sink in. So they're making enough money to feed them. Okay, guys, work with me.
I got you.
That reminds me of the recent Dave Chappelle skit. Where he said that he came home and his kid ran up to him with like chicken grease all over his hands and went to hug him. And he's like, son, like, don't hug me with your chicken grease. And he's like, Dad, this isn't chicken grease. This is duck grease. And he's like, that's when it hit me. I'm too successful. My kids are eating duck.
I love it.
Well, speaking of fitness,
yeah,
I want to drop in there that, Rick is a black belt, jiu-jitsu black belt. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, so part of that story I told, like, and anytime you're an entrepreneur and you make a jump and then you hustle, like, there's ups and downs. Like, my days aren't filled with happiness and sunshine. Like, I'm probably more down than I am up. Like, a lot of people follow me on Facebook and see all the motivational posts I post. They think that's for them. That's for me to get in my own head because I'm mostly more...
Love it.
I'm more down and up. So about when I transitioned to the mortgage industry, when I ran my own business and I was in insurance, I worked so hard to the grind that I got in a really dark place. I had to go see a doctor. I was prescribed medicine for depression, anxiety, antidepressant. Mm-hmm. Like I was drugged. I was like 50 pounds bigger than I was now because I would eat pizza pockets. I would eat whatever I buy at Kroger's, microwave it, work all hours of the night. Mm-hmm. And that was it. So when I changed careers, I made an important decision that number one was going to become my health and myself. So I'm changing careers. I'm changing my lifestyle. I had to put myself number one. I started working out every single day at 7 a.m. I woke up at 6, worked out from 7 to 8 every day, no matter what. And I made that a big priority in my career change. So I still have ups and downs. Like I'm still stressed, but the way I see it now is nothing as bad in life as the training I put myself through. And I know that like Rachel probably feels the same way. If you follow her on Facebook and see her workouts, like her deadlifting this morning, I'm like, oh, I can barely do that with 2 kettlebells. I don't know how she's doing that with all the weight she's doing. But if you look at what she's doing every single morning, at what time do you wake up? 3? Like what is she going to come in contact with today that's going to be more taxing on her than waking up at 3 a.m, tired, physically tired because you got to wake up super early, walk into the gym in the cold, lifting weights sore. You got somebody calling you that a deal might go bad. Big deal, you know? So that was where the mindset of me working out every day really helped me and made me a better person.
100%. And that's one thing that when people ask me about fitness, I tell them it's not, it really is so much of a, it's more of a head game than anything else, because the consistency involved in what I'm doing right now. And I know like what you just mentioned, Rick, that's the part that's it's comparable to the grind in business, that doing hard shit, you know, that's what I know in the mornings, like it's a big, long conversation with myself to, okay. And like literally this morning, there were several exercises, including the reason that I videotaped that one this morning is because I almost didn't do that one. I was like, nobody's going to know if I skip this one. I fucking hate this one. I suck at it. And I just was like, you know what? I was thinking to Gina, I'm like, embrace the suck. Let's go. Let's go. Because embrace the suck is a really good message for people. And that's why I did that video this morning. And then I did the deal. So the fitness thing is always been a huge part of what I do. And I think that it does contribute. I mean, if you look at all the high performing people and actually in whatever sales, I'm reading all the sales gravy books right now, again, all of Jeb's books, he talked about it in the resilience of its objections, where he was talking about it, that any high performer, any super uber successful person, that the people that we all look up to, all of them have a fitness regimen included in their schedule. Every single one has at least a minimum of 30 minutes a day because it's so important. You can't, as you just mentioned, Rick, you can't face up against these hard things all day long if you aren't able to physically keep yourself together.
Yeah. And that's what Jeb talks about too, is obstacle immunity. Right. So when you build up that resilience to any obstacle and you just keep doing that, you're going to be able to be immune to it. I'm not doing deadlifts in the morning, but I am getting up at 5 a.m. every single day and walking for an hour. Right. But I'm creating a discipline and a regimen every single day to at least start my day with the same structure. And then everything goes off the rails at some point. But it's when you start with, I think that structure and discipline of this is what's happening today. And I'm waking up with the hustle. I mean, I've been, you know, Rachel and I have both been there too, Rick, like as entrepreneurs. And we know, you know, the grind is, oh my gosh.
The last thing I want to say about a fitness regimen, like it doesn't have to be deadlifts at 3 a.m, just saying that's not for normal humans. And Gina makes a great point, like doing at least getting up and walking. And this is the thing. If you get up and have some sort of for you morning routine that hopefully would include at least some movement, even if it's just stretching, then no matter what happens, like Gina mentioned, your day goes off the rails. You have done some things for yourself, you have been successful already before you started your day. And that is one thing, like my day can suck, but I'm like, well, I did
PR some weight this morning on those lifts.
I will say that when things go off the rail and I decide I need chocolate covered raisins at 4 PM, I feel like, you know what? I walked for an hour this morning. I didn't do deadlifts, but I had some calorie burning.
There you go. And it's good for your, people don't really put together the fact that fitness isn't really all about the body change. It actually, the chemicals in your brain benefit from physical exercise.
And that's why I stress the walking thing, because anyone who's like, oh my gosh, just to think of it, like, I got to get up in the morning and I got to do this thing and I got to work out for 30 minutes. If you just move.
Yeah.
That's going to have an impact on your body and on your brain and on those chemicals. That's going to put you in a different place.
It's a good brain reset. Just doing some activity and movement, getting rid of those. My thought is toxic thoughts, clearing your mind of the toxic thoughts so you can be focused. Yeah. And what Rachel talked about earlier is, I don't remember the exact way she phrased it, but it reminded me of this book called Make Your Bed by William McRaven. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, that's one of the things they teach in the SEAL program is you make your bed first thing in the morning. So that way, no matter what, you accomplished one thing.
And I do that.
I still don't. I try. I do it like twice a week. I make my bed.
I don't do it at 3 AM. I do it when I get back.
But you're getting something accomplished at 3 AM. So
totally. And the other thing about it, one thing that I bet you I would willing to be to bet all the money in my bank account that one person listening out there gets up and the first thing they do is they check their email first thing in the morning.
I won't
touch my email until after I have done my workout and eaten my pancakes. And the reason, one thing is, so as soon as you open up that email, you are being dragged down the pit of people needing you. And it throws you into that fight or flight mode immediately. Mm-hmm. And the few times that I have accidentally opened up my email, it immediately sends me in that like fight or flight. Oh my gosh, I need to get this done mode. And so that's why I don't touch it.
So there's something you said that I want you to elaborate on. So we talk about fitness, talk about, you know, health. One of the components been really big for me is eating better. I cleaned up my diet. I eat very clean. Not that I have to, like I'm in fine health, but I just wanted to. I wanted to, you know, with COVID, I'm always trying to find progressions to improve my body. And I started eating better. And one of the things I just heard you say is that you eat pancakes in the morning. And I'm like, what? How about pancakes? What kind of pancakes are you eating?
Because my protein pancakes are my life. Kodiak
is that the one
cakes?
With the bear? Yes.
Kodiak cakes. And I put 2 to 4 egg whites in there. Because I'm doing such big lifts right now and I'm on a build phase. So I have a certain amount of carbs. So I load those things up. I do like 2 to 4 egg whites. I do an extra 1/4 cup of oats in there and the pancakes. And then I put peanut butter on it. It's like, I feel literally like sometimes I want to cry and make some more because it's so good.
I eat right now I never used to eat breakfast prior to COVID. I started to because my coach made me, which is good for me. It's better. I eat 3 egg whites and 2 pieces of sprout bread. Not egg whites, 3 eggs and then 2 pieces of sprout bread. That's what I eat every day for breakfast. And it's so disgusting that I put salsa on it just to like wolf it down. I don't like eggs, but I eat them just because like they're a complete, you know, protein or whatever.
And sprout bread is just the tastiest bread out there.
It's actually not bad.
Well, and here's what though. Here's a little analogy that you can relate to sales is, so same with me. When I started doing all this heavy training, I started going from eating eggs to now I eat egg whites and I actually love eggs. But when I shifted to being the egg white girl, I remember coming into my front door one morning and being like, oh my God, I'm the egg white girl now. And so now I've embraced that. But the reason that sometimes you have to make shifts to changing your activities, you may not like it, but it takes you to that next level. So, you know, I just started doing the Fanatical Prospecting Boot Camp with Gina. And so for our homework, she has us on these call blocks. And to be honest, and you and I talked about this, Rick, I've been hiding behind email. I haven't been doing my prospecting calls the way that I should be. And now she's got us on this homework doing these call blocks. And it was uncomfortable the very first one. But now, like I just told her when I got on here, I'm like, darn it, my call block wasn't long enough today and I need to get back. I didn't finish all the calls.
Wait. And what did I say? I'm like, you know what the solution is?
Longer call blocks. But so once you get into it, now I love my egg whites and it's not a big deal, but it took me a minute to go, okay, let's move through this somewhat uncomfortable moment of not doing what I want to do, doing what I need to do so that I can level up. And that's a big piece of everything in sales. Kind of like with you, Rick, when you move to a new town, there's nobody around, but you got empty pockets. You got to just get uncomfortable.
And empty stomach.
So while you guys are eating your egg whites, I am having a breakfast of Eggo waffles.
Lego my Eggo.
I'm going to switch over to the bear waffles, the bear pancakes.
Oh, man.
Kodiak
cinnamon oat is my jam. I've tried chocolate chip. I've tried dark chocolate. I'm a creature of habit, and the cinnamon oat
Where do you buy these Kodiak?
It's better to buy them online because it's cheaper, but I think Kroger or Fresh Market has them.
Okay.
For three times the price.
Good to know. Rick, in that you started talking about your own coach, you know, coaching you on what you should be doing. Let's shift a little bit because you mentor a lot of loan officers. What does that look like to you and how are you doing it? Talk a little bit about that.
So I'm a huge advocate of having a coach. I don't know what got me into that. I've just always been an advocate of having my own coach. I read a book, Relentless, by somebody, Grover, I can't remember his first name. Mm-hmm. He was Michael Jordan's strength conditioning coach. So I see that if Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time, needed a coach, like I probably need one as well. So I have a strength and conditioning coach and I have a business coach. Mm-hmm. So my strength and conditioning coach was a guy I met a couple of years ago. He does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu like I do, and he's out of Louisiana. We once trained together. And I hit him up during COVID because with the gyms closing and everything going on, I didn't want to make excuses and get fat or get out of shape and, you know, lose my edge. So I reached out to him again in COVID and had him make a program for me, nutrition and workout. And I just stuck to it. Like I'm somewhat obsessed with anything I do. I stick with it, followed it. I called him and harassed him and showed him like all the stuff I was eating and doing. And he would check with me weekly. And I've done it now since, I don't know, maybe over a year, probably started last January.
Yeah. And he's definitely like, I haven't actually seen Rick in person since probably the Christmas party, like year before last, but he's definitely like thinned out and toned up during COVID. Yep. Yeah.
About probably 30 pounds lighter. So I used to walk around 230. When I started this program, I was probably like 210. Right now I'm about 185.
Wow.
So yeah, I've never been this light ever since I was like in elementary school.
Killing it.
Wow.
So that's my strength and conditioning coach. Now my business coach, I get coaching through an organization called The Core. They're very well known in real estate. They coach realtors and loan officers.
Okay.
When I got into the mortgage industry, I was introduced to a loan officer out of Denver who himself, he does $100 million a year himself. Like it's bananas. He's such a big producer. I met him, we became friends. And as I was kind of transitioning companies, I really leaned on him for advice. And he suggested to me to get coaching through The Core. That's where he started. And that's where he still gets coaching. So I went through them, did it for a year or two. As we grew, I stopped doing it for a couple of years. I got re-engaged with them about a year ago.
So what about, are you coaching or mentoring anybody in your organization?
So I mentor lots of people and coach a lot of people. I'm involved with an organization called NAREP, the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. It's the largest trade organization in the country. I'm one of their NAREP 10 certified trainers.
Oh, cool.
I'm also one of their regional coaches. I coach three chapters in two in Utah. I always butcher this name, Northern Wasatch, Utah, or Wasatch, Salt Lake City and Denver. I coach those chapters on policy, what's going on in policy for housing. And then I also coach and mentor the current LOs on our team that want it. You know, not everybody wants the coaching, and I'm there for those that do.
And he does.
What do you find? Anyway,
he does an excellent job. He's very encouraging and he doesn't even get mad when he calls up certain loan officers and they are really in a bad mood and tell him it's not a good time.
Ah.
Sometimes they yell at me, Gina. It's quite shocking.
Oh, you know what? I know some people like that too. They, when they're in a bad mood, and
have I yelled at
and
you?
They,
I definitely have told you this is not a fucking good time. But
you have snapped. You well, have you yelled
not
at me?
You? I mean, I know I've yelled at you. I mean, Rick.
Well, now I know. Like when I talk to her, there's a yelling. I'm gonna text her husband and say, "Hey, give her the pancakes."
Yeah, he'll be like, "Hey, thanks for the warning."
couple other kind of some little gifts for you, Rick. Girl Scout cookies. There's some other. You've got a couple things that are your go-to, Rachel. That if everybody knew that, we could just keep feeding you that stuff.
Tagalongs,
yeah. Just feed her that stuff. So what about in that mentoring and coaching process, what are some of the things that come up that you see are like the biggest challenges from a sales perspective or selling perspective?
So I'll probably speak very bluntly because sometimes I don't have a filter and I don't mean this the wrong way, but this is just kind of my perception. And I'm not the greatest coach. I have areas where I can improve, but I think where a lot of people have the biggest challenge is just like getting over themselves. And like, I face the same thing, right? Like we get our own obstacles in our way and we build this obstacle that probably doesn't exist and we can't get over it. So Rick, I'll use my example. Rick, well, my coach will say, why aren't you making your sales calls? How many did you make this week? Not enough. Why not? I'm busy. BS. You're supposed to time block your sales calls out several times a week. Rick, do you know how to use a calendar? Yes, coach, I do. Let me see your calendar. I show him my calendar. Rick, I can see on here there's 5 different hours that you're available to make your sales calls. So I believe one of the questions you're about to ask me was, how do I make time for everything? Gina, were you going to?
Yes, that is exactly what I was going to ask you next.
So I color code my calendar and my coach makes me send screenshots of my calendar to him. And he says, Rick, I see white. What are you doing?
Gina just fell in love with you, I think.
Yes. So I talk about the white space.
Yes. So I'm pulling my calendar right now as I talk to you.
I know, me too. I'm going to show you my calendar.
I can't show you.
If he shows you his, you'll show him yours. Is that what we're doing here right now?
My mother did warn me against that.
Sweet. This is so amazing. I'm in love with you, Rick.
I have categories for color. I color code stuff. Green is money.
Yes.
Nothing else is important.
I'm so excited.
Hilarious.
Wait, am I gonna look? Wait, this is gonna make your head hurt. Look.
Oh, I'm excited actually to see it.
Can you see it?
I see white space. Ooh, I'm gonna write.
I see too much white, Gina.
I see some white space on yesterday.
Very little white space.
Gina, what's your email address?
Gina@salesgravy.com.
All right, hang on.
Ooh, she's got a 2-hour. Oh, I see the content creation you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because my job is hybrid as a sales trainer and a salesperson. So, but you see, mine are color block. A yellow is always a podcast. Purple is travel. Green is money. The other colors are shit I got to do because I got to do them.
So Gina@salesgravy.com, right?
Yeah, Gina@salesgravy.com.
All right, you should be receiving a screenshot of my calendar here shortly.
Fantastic.
So I put everything on my calendar. I even put my workouts in because nothing's more important. I mean, green is more important than workout, but I still want to make sure I get it in.
Yeah, exactly. I have not done though. I used to get my workouts on here, but I don't anymore. But yeah.
So again, my coach would see that and he'd say, Gina, that's too much white. Fill it in with stuff. So I'll fill mine in like 12:30 stretching. I'll fill it in with stuff. So that way, like I have a break or I'm not working like nonstop all the time.
Now, some of my white space in all defense of my white space, some of my white space was a result of things falling off or getting canceled. Mm-hmm. Whether it was, you know, like I was supposed to be on a call immediately following this that was related to client service, but that fell off because we accomplished it yesterday. So some of those white space moments, I will take a white space moment because I'm running so hard And I forget, like, I think it's important too to have some white space moments. This is what I've been running up against, is that if I don't give myself some of it, I want to die by the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to your question on challenges that people have, loan officers or even realtors, I think a lot of people spend a lot of time working in their business and not on their business. Right? We spend too much time working on our current files or our current clients and not as much time working on getting more business, building better relationships. And that's just because we have that deal now and we don't want it to die and we want to put all our focus on it.
Hey guys, just a real quick reminder, if you'd like to find social media links to me, Rachel, Gina, and our favorite Warner Keith, go visit womenyourmotherwarnsyouabout.com, where you can also find some cool free downloads. Now back to the show.
You have to build time for prospect planning, not just calling, but planning, which is the bigger picture. And Rachel knows my deal about having Fridays for content creation. I call it content creation, but it's also bigger strategy things, things I'm supposed to be working on from a bigger strategy perspective, like designing other courses for Sales Gravy. It's a bigger strategy because the more I produce content, the more money I make in part of my revenue stream, right? Mm-hmm. So it's having that bigger strategy, or working on the podcast, another part of the strategy. That I try to lump into one day that never gets disturbed.
Yeah, and a lot of people will argue, even people that are not even necessarily in sales, but are having trouble controlling their schedule. And what I advise, and I put together in my handy dandy ebook you can get from me, is just start by creating a calendar, and even do it on paper if the colorful blocks overwhelm you, just so you can see, like, how are you actually really spending your time? Because I think people that don't keep a calendar, they don't even really know where the time goes. They're like, I'm so busy. And you really aren't as busy as you think you are. Like, and that's why I've tried to get the word busy out of my schedule, like out of my vocabulary, because there's always more time.
Ooh, what is that?
And there's,
show that again.
And there's,
wait for it to finish. Go ahead. Well, I'm showing my daily tracker.
Oh yeah. Your tracker. He's all about the handy dandy trackers. Those are good.
Well, I write down on paper to make sure I make my calls.
That's
right. Blank by the end of the day, I want to fill it in.
Yeah. And people like, so, you know, when you start actually looking at your calendar and figuring out how are you really spending your day? Like, people lose time on social media. People lose time when they're like going on Netflix, and Netflix makes it so easy to like go to the next episode, go to the next episode, go to the next episode.
And who's doing that during the day?
Damn that Tiger King.
Some people, I still have not seen that. I'm so glad. But even on the weekends, like if somebody's an entrepreneur and they're trying to create a business and they're like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
You do have time. Everyone has time somewhere. And for me, there's not time during my day for me to have 3-hour workouts. So that's why I get up at 3 a.m, because by the time 7 a.m. rolls around, I'm done with my workout, and nobody within my company can tell me that my workouts are getting in the way of my business because they're done by 7. And so
what time do you go to bed?
I like to be in bed by 8 if I can. If no one's around, and then I'll go to bed at like 7 if I can.
I mean, sleep is also equally important.
Yeah,
like, I think this is we got to talk about that.
To the point of the sleep, I do really well during the week with 6 or 7 hours, but on the weekends when I don't have, you know, when all of our team is not working, so things are a little bit slower in terms of business, I'll usually sleep in and work out a little later. So I like to get 8 to 10 hours on the weekends for sure. But a lot of times I do get 8 hours during the week if I go to bed early enough.
Well, sleep definitely impacts your health and your chemistry and your what's the word I'm looking for?
Your brain powerness.
Well-being. Yeah,
I clearly did not get enough sleep last night.
I was about to say, yesterday didn't have enough sleep. I was like, she's dragging ass.
I'm dragging ass this week. It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
And
I mean,
can catch up over the weekend.
I'm going to catch up over the weekend. That's what we do. It's going to be time for us to wrap up soon. So I just want to make sure that we get in any other questions that we have for Rick. I know we have some fancy schmancy questions. I will say, Rick, I hope we're going to see you in Atlanta at Outbound in June. And if you're not familiar with it, just say so. But
I have no idea what you're talking about. So say so.
Yes, I love this.
Is that where a bunch of women that my mother warned me about get together?
actually, that yes, we're gonna. But this is the Outbound Conference that Sales Gravy's involved with. We couldn't do it last year because of COVID. We're doing it this year in Atlanta the week of June 15th.
Okay,
Outbound Conference, and it's amazing.
I see it right here. The Georgia World Congress. Yep.
Yeah, we have an amazing lineup of speakers. You need to be there. And the women your mother warned you about are going to be there live streaming every day.
Wow. Yeah, this is like an amazing conference. I'm looking at it right now.
See? And it's in your backyard.
I recognize one amazing speaker already, Miss Gina.
Yes. Okay. I'm one of them.
So I have to go. Going back to something Rachel said earlier, and I don't remember exactly how she phrased it, but I want to point out another critical element to being successful and doing the right thing is surrounding yourself with others that are successful. Like,
exactly.
I cut out people in my life I go out of my way to connect with people that have something I want to learn from. So when I first came to Georgia, I reached out to anybody that would have the time to meet me for coffee and pick their brain and learn from them. I wanted to learn from anybody that I could. And even now, I still do that. I reach out to other presidents, owners of their mortgage companies, or just people that I see speak on panels and pick their brain and try to learn from them, because you can never stop learning in our industry.
I think that's one of the coolest thing actually about our podcast as a learning vehicle, because we have so many amazing guests on our show that we learn from, which is a pretty cool thing. Would you agree, Rachel?
I would. And I wish I had thought of that when Jeb asked me on the podcast, what was the biggest benefit? Because I think that really is, like, example, Michael Schein that we had on our podcast, I read his book and I mean, it transformed the way that I market myself. Like it's, And a lot of times I'd be like, who's this old fogey dude that Gina's pulled on? And gosh, Mr. Boring. And it turns out to be like the most fascinating person ever. Like my favorite. So we have some really fascinating guests that do teach us, because everything boils down to this. Every single guest that we have on, sales boils down to relationships. And a lot of it has to do with caring about the person that you're talking to and listening to them. It's really as simple as that, but good Lord, is that hard.
One of my old coaches told me, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yep. 100%. I agree with you. We have to surround ourselves with, I like to surround myself with people smarter than me and people that I want to be like. Mm-hmm. So if I want to be really successful and rich, I want to surround myself with those people. Or if I want to be around, you know, kind, giving, compassionate people, those who are the people I'm going to keep around. And then I've just started, you know, eliminating people that do not have that same kind of mindset. Mm-hmm.
I have like several board of directors in my life that like manage me. I have some that manage me from a health perspective. Rachel will tell you there's days where I'll just randomly text her screenshots of what I'm eating or my Apple calories for the day. I just try to connect with and stay connected with people that make me improve.
100%.
Great advice for all of our listeners.
Speaking of advice, let's shift to our signature questions, shall we, Gina?
We shall.
So, Rick, the first question for you is how, because you're on Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that makes business sexy again, how would you define the word sexy?
That's a good question. I think to me, sexy is, I don't know.
You have to do better than I don't know. You can describe your wife if you need to.
Going to have to work on your improv skills, Rick.
I know I need to. I'm not very good at improving. I'm a preparation guy. I need to take notes, prepare. I think sexy, of course, is different to everybody. to me, sexy is something that is attractive to me, but that's not in terms of a male or female, right? Like, I think certain cars are sexy. I think certain, I think the way people wear certain clothes or the way certain things look sexy, right? So I think it's a term that just kind of describes what something appeals to somebody. So to me, the newest vibe. Lexus is a very sexy car, right? Or if I buy a new suit and it's custom fit on me with a custom fit shirt and it's not baggy and it's like it's made for me, like that's a sexy look.
I like that. I've not heard someone put it that way, and this is a really great way to kind of look at sexy. It's what is appealing to you that would be sexy. Because a lot of times we hear when we ask this question, like confidence comes up a lot. And so I think that really put in a new perspective for me of like confidence is appealing to people, right? So that becomes sexy, or the way something looks can be sexy. I like it. I like it, Rick.
Yes, and it's definitely different for everybody, because there's some individuals walking around this earth that are not sexy to me, and somebody finds them super sexy. So, you know, there you go.
Something that's become sexy to me lately in the last year has been bourbon.
Oh, bourbon is sexy. Bourbon, and I've not been into it until lately. Yeah.
And traditionally, you know, you think of it as your grandfather's drink, but all of a sudden the industry kind of made it sexy again. What do they do to make it sexy? I have no idea, but it is. And I can't buy enough bottles of it. Yeah.
Well, when you come back to Myrtle Beach, there's a really great bourbon and cigar bar in Pawleys Island, right down near me. It's called Bourbon and Burns with a Z.
Where? Where is this?
It's down, like literally I could walk to it from my house. And it's a really, actually, the vibe is like what it feels like you're describing in terms of sexy, Rick, is like a vibe, right? The vibe of the new Lexus is like sexy. The vibe of that new suit that gives you that vibe. But Bourbon and Burns with a Z, I went in there, and actually for Christmas, I got Mike some like the nicest cigars they had in there, which was a really interesting exercise for me to go in there and check it out. But it's cool. It's a really cool little bar.
I was kind of pondering how you knew of this place. But
I have not been in a bar for a long, 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 long time, but I went in there to get cigars.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go
there.
Yeah,
you'd like it. It's cool. So next question is a lot easier, Rick. What would be the best advice you've ever received?
Read more.
That's good.
100%. Yes. I wish I had more time to read. And now I like, if I'm not actually working out, working or sleeping, or with my family, I'm trying to read all of the Sales Gravy books again. So, and I just, there's not enough time in the day to read them all. And I just love to read.
You know, sometimes I schedule a drive to the Sales Gravy office in Georgia, just so I can listen to books in the car.
Yeah.
I think if there was a second one, the good advice one's given to me is, and I think this one applies in so many different verticals, is stop worrying about others. We worry about what others think of us. We worry about what others are doing, right? And then it shifts our mind.
And the other thing about worry is, I just discovered this over the last couple of weeks, is just don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything, because it never turns out the way that you think. It just never, worry has no value. If it's something that you can actually control in some way or influence by your actions or your words, then that's one thing. But the up in the middle of the night worry thing, it just gets you nowhere. And it's so
nowhere. Ugh. Nowhere. It has no purpose.
Oh, it's terrible. All right. Last question. What advice, Rick, do you wish you had received or received sooner?
I was actually thinking about this week. I wish I could go back in time and tell myself to take better care of myself at a younger age. Like right now, I eat very healthy. I do yoga. Like those are two components I wish I would have done more of when I was younger. When I used to work in college, I would eat fast food every day. And granted, like I don't have diabetes. I don't have anything like major about me. But I just think like, man, how much better could I be in life if I would have taken better care of myself back then?
Amen.
That is Awesome. It's been so fun having you on the show, Rick. You're like my new, like, you know what I find sexy, Rick, about you?
Oh.
I find, what I find sexy about you, Rick, is your calendar.
Those color codes get her every time.
That's what she said.
I knew you guys would hit it off.
I love it. And so you're going to go to Outbound, right? Is this a commitment?
It's a commitment. As a matter of fact, not only am I going to go to Outbound, Gina, do you have a favorite type of food?
Do I have a favorite type of food? Oh my gosh.
She likes tagalongs.
You like steak?
I love steak.
When you're in town, I'm going to put on my calendar. I'm going to take you to one of my favorite steakhouses in Atlanta.
Can I come too?
No. Yeah, I'm kidding.
Please. And I'm going to print my calendar and bring it with us so we can go through it.
Yeah, if you're going to bring your calendar, I'm not coming because it might get awkward if I'm there.
What's your favorite steak place?
So I have three in Atlanta that I absolutely love. Number one is a place called Howl's. Number two is a place called, and I say number one, two, and three, they're all amazing, right? One is Howl's, two is Rathbun Steakhouse, and three is Little Alley. And any one of those is absolutely amazing. I think for us, I'll probably, depending on where y'all are staying downtown, probably the closest would be Howl's or Rathbun's, which
I think we're at the Congress, that hotel
I looked it up. You're probably going to stay downtown. I think the closest to downtown is Howl's, which is is absolutely my favorite steakhouse. But the other ones are really good too. Like, we won't be disappointed going to either one.
Fantastic. Well, we could hit one up every night.
I was about to say we're there for several days.
Yeah.
I can't do steak 3 days in a row.
No, I can't either. I can't.
We'll get you a handy dandy
I'll have to fast in between. Code.
We'll get you a code to use to get registered for Outbound.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
To have you there. I'm so excited. Okay. All right. I think we have to go now, don't we?
We do. I've got a hard stop.
Can I ask you ladies a question before we wrap this up? I don't know if it's appropriate on this show or not. You can edit this out if you don't want it. Are we able to do a giveaway? Can I give away a book?
Why not?
I have several. You can pick out the one you want. I have Fanatical Prospecting, which is an amazing book. I also have I have Extreme Ownership. Have you read that? This book is fantastic.
Extreme Ownership is a really good book. I think that's a great book to give away. Let's do that.
So I have four.
Love it.
I'll give out so one. Good.
Love this book. I actually listened to it on the Audible, which is, I mean, Jocko on Audible. It gets you pumped up.
So good.
I love the Audible. I love the Audible.
So you guys tell me who to ship it to, and I will ship the book out to however we ship it to. However we do it.
Okay, who are we going to give it away to? Ooh.
So I think that because we talked about calendars, I think that the first person to share this podcast on their Facebook page, tag or Instagram, tag the Women Your Mother Warned You About, or even LinkedIn would be fine. Tag Women Your Mother Warned You About and give us a screenshot of your color blocked calendar.
And I'm going to up the ante. We will pick two people.
Nice.
And I will give away. Oh, I hate to because I just gave one away, but I'm going to give another one away.
Do it.
Which will leave me down to zero, which is my favorite book, favorite Jeb book, is Sales EQ.
I bet you that you know somebody who could replace it for you.
I might be able to get it replaced. So we're going to give away two books. We want to see your calendar. Show us your calendar. Show
it. Well, gosh, do I need to give away a book too?
Let's do it. Trifecta it.
Oh, well, I will give away my last copy because I have multiple of those. I will give away the Fanatical Prospecting book.
Excellent. Awesome. We have three books to give away. If you, the first three to jump in, send us your calendar. What else are they doing? Sharing it on social media.
Yes. Share this podcast. Tag the Women Your Mother Warned You About. And post in the first comment below that or with it a picture of your fancy calendar color blocks.
Sweet. This is so fun. What a great idea, Rick. I love it.
And I look forward to seeing you guys, you ladies, in June.
Yay. You know what we call that? We just got a commitment. We just closed the deal.
Set an appointment.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Rick, one more time for being here with us.
I loved it.
And thank you, Warners, for listening to this episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About, now sponsored by Sales Gravy. Hey, if you need a little more, just a little more something, you want to up the ante with your selling skills, your prospecting skills, Sales Gravy University is the place to go with so many courses, both live and e-learning. So go check out Sales Gravy University and sign up for a class. I might be teaching it.
And Gina is fantastic. For all information about Gina and myself and the elusive Keith Walters, you can visit womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do us a great favor and bless us by sharing this episode with someone who needs to hear it, because there's so much knowledge that Rick dropped in this episode.
Awesome. Thanks again. We're out. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, I don't think. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.